Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All the world's a stage, wrote Shakespeare in one of his plays, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. Do you ever get the feeling that the Scandemic is an elaborate show running nonstop since March, part security theater like TSA, if you've ever traveled from an airport? There they treat you like a convict, and that's meant to make you feel safe. Right. The healthy are quarantined, not the sick. And in this drama, which we are all of us working as walk-ons, it's a great simultaneous world cast, never before attempted or achieved in real time. The mask is our costume, and we put it on to make the play acting seem more real. We had to wear a mask the other day briefly, we priested with Father Cicada, to get him back to the examining room. In the meantime, as we were waiting in the main room, well, a pair of superannuated old grizzled hippies came in and looked us up and down with wonder that we were not masked, and then took their equivalent of holy water, which is that hand sanitizer business. They didn't stay long. When they left, the male hippie took his message t-shirt and used it to open the handle, lest he should actually touch it after we had. Well, the mask didn't stay on long because actually you can't breathe with, I don't know what people do when they wear it all the time. Fathers and had to come off. We got talking to the nurse, whom we've known for many years, and I could see how close she was to understanding things, to asking the right questions, and we tried to help her out as much as possible, just in a few brief minutes. But what a scene. Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see. How could these words be applied for the things we're seeing, and yet such confidence have we through Christ towards God? St. Paul, that you can see it. I mean, you can make some sense of this theater of the absurd, to which it seems you've all bought a ticket, and in which we consist of the cast. But more, I mean, to see the whole picture, because you come to Mass, and Mass is the reality. It's a drama, but not play acting. It is the foretaste of heaven. And our Mass on earth makes us to see the Lamb standing on his throne as though slain, and the elders, and the angels, and the chant, and the incense. And all of this is our anchor of hope to enable us to see each Sunday what God wants us to be, how we ought to act, how we ought to react in order to keep our sanity and some sense of peace about us. So today we start Mass with a short, very important prayer with which the Church starts her daily divine office seven times. And the monks of Egypt used to recite it all day long, O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. Now they were monks, and they were away from the world out in the desert, and they kept silence, and they worked, and they prayed all the time for God to hasten to their assistance, because they saw the devils, and they knew the odds, they knew what they were up against, And what about ourselves? Our role in the mass drama, remember, it reflects reality, not mass hypnosis, prepares us for the next life, even as it helps us in this. Our role today is that of the man who fell among robbers. And thus we pray, make haste to help me, ad adiuvandum me festina. We've been robbed of late, robbed of our lives and our liberty and our customs. But worse, far worse, ever since the start, the enemies of the soul, the world, the flesh, the devil, have robbed us of sanctifying grace and of charity. And all of these robbers have a similar MO. They leave us beaten up and half dead, not quite gone, but half dead, not finished yet. So, in the collect, the great prayer of the Mass, we're praying still that our Lord will hasten to us and we to Him, that we could speed our way without stumbling towards the good things God has promised. And that takes us to the gospel. Did you read about that man last Sunday night? He was part of that nighttime street theater they have often in downtowns of cities. Portland, Oregon, of course, where they have the perpetual communist revolution. Well, he was an unsavory character, I think that's the final word, an odd man, but he crashed his truck, and then he ended up beaten and robbed, and somebody kicked him in the head so that he was left unconscious. You know, the Black Lives Matter people are merciless Marxists, but still this one seems unconscionable. When somebody reported what happened, whoever it was first, he used the gospel phrase that struck me. Someone wrote, he was left half dead, semi vivo relicto, Luke's words. Interesting. Why? Because these words of the gospel, read and listened to year after year, our whole lives long, enter into our consciousness, and with them comes the light of the Holy Ghost. The man's name in Portland, did you know, is Adam. When St. Bede says to us today in his sermon that the traveler from Jericho to Jericho from Jerusalem is Adam, meaning the whole human race. Adam, this Adam, like the original, had his faults, but so do we. Now, the gospel story has him left half dead. The priest and the Levite of the Old Testament law, they pass on by, and why was that? Why didn't they stop to help? They couldn't. They had nothing to offer him. All they could do is to certify his wounds, because all they had at the temple was animal blood, the sacrifices of old. But look, you've got the blood. You have the blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of Jesus. Precious blood of Jesus, save us, which has cleansed and helped and healed you countless times. You've got the Samaritan, the word means guardian, and he's got your back, as they say. And that's Jesus, who's watching out for you. And so you have to pray, O Lord, make haste to help me. We're never meant to pass on by. Not in the New Testament, not if we have the blood and the oil and the wine. And when we pray, we are never meant to pray for ourselves or for paltry things alone. We are meant to pray for the vast multitudes of human beings redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but still to be saved. And it may be that if it were not for your prayers, the Good Samaritan has never yet come near to that individual, bent over him with his saving ministrations. This, too, is our role. One of our saints last week, St. John Eudes, 17th century France, reformed the whole church by means of his training of priests and seminaries. He most devoted to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and Sacred Heart of Jesus. Well, he used to tell his priests sometimes, fathers, you need to leave Jesus in the tabernacle to find and to serve him in the streets, in your neighbor. And this is what our Lord wants of us, I think, in this shadow world through which we walk, and it's always dark with the psyops. And you say to yourself, who, me? Yes, you. You've got the blood, the precious blood. Eternal Father, I offer thee the precious blood of Jesus in reparation for my sins and for the needs of the church, for the poor soul. And more, you've got the sacraments. You've received them. They're available to you, the wine and the oil, I mean. And they make you to be strong and wealthy and powerful. And you have enough to go around. There's no need for you anymore to cross to the other side of the street and to be stingy. Do not fear when you have to go down to Jericho. This afternoon, tomorrow, surely, go down with prayer and the precious blood and the oil and the wine. But now you are at Mass, even our faithful who can only assist virtually at the Holy Sacrifice. And blessed are those eyes, because all of you can see, you are blessed for what you can see. We pray in the collect, may the heavenly goods which are freely given to us today, may they endow us with a little compassion for our neighbor. Some are so far away, that's true. They don't have a prayer, but you do. Try it. See how, when you meet people, instead of thinking nothing or being angry or disgusted or crossing the street, how if you begin to pray, you will grow calmer and stronger and more at peace, and you will have done something. And that may have been the most worthwhile thing you've done all day. One aspiration, one ejaculation, one offering, that's all. Oh, yes, it's true, in this world of ours, in the theater, there's plenty of anger. And it is righteous anger, no question about it. It should be. But if you're talking, stopping, and assisting, and even saving a soul, you need the soothing oil as well as the astringent wine, which burns as it cleans out the wounds. This is not play acting, following some satanic script the insane leaders of the one world have imposed on us. To borrow St. Paul's phrase, you could call it the ministration of death. That's a fair description of their new normal. It is rather a ministration of glory, which leaves your face, unlike that of Moses, shining, but uncovered, unmasked. And your eyes are blessed for the things which you see. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.